Please call the next item, which is the first on the regular agenda.
Item 144, authorize a special appropriation grant agreement with Metropolitan Public Defender in an amount not to exceed $50,000 to implement the Immigration Protection Project.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler. About 2 weeks ago, Ann Leininger, who's my state representative and also an attorney, called me to ask if the city would be willing to support the Metropolitan Public Defender's new Immigration Protection Project. And I'd have to say she only got about halfway through what she was asking before I said, yes, yes, what do you need? It was very shortly, around the same time as the executive order banning immigration from seven Muslim countries was being in effect. Commissioner Fish and Mayor Wheeler and I went to the Muslim Educational Trust and heard some very frightening things there. I've been a U.S. citizen for 25 years, and this is the first time that I have felt like a second-class citizen, knowing that anybody, even with an American passport, can be denied entry, apparently. So I was very excited about this particular project. I know that the whole council joins me not only in standing strong and together and supporting our community with statements, etc. We really need to go beyond that and do things, and it's particularly using people with expertise to make sure that our neighbours have their rights. I could just read the findings in the ordinance because they so well describe the need and the vision project, but instead I'm going to turn this over to Alex Bezos, Michael Hsu in the Public Defender's Office, and Casey Jarma from Unite Oregon. Thank you for being here this morning, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, commissioners, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for that eloquent exposition of this project. It's exactly on, of course. My name is Alex Bassos. I'm the director of our community law programs at the Metropolitan Public Defender, including our current immigration programs. We have more than 60 attorneys and 120 staff over two counties. We so appreciate your willingness to allow this emergency measure. It seems to us that the only thing that we really know right now in this time of fear and uncertainty is that we don't know what's about to happen, and we need to be prepared for whatever's about to happen so that we can respond quickly and effectively. We've seen just in the last few days a woman in Arizona who was doing everything she was supposed to taken away from her citizen kids. We saw in this state a brother with nothing on his record who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time taken in by ICE. And just yesterday, a Dream Act kid with nothing on his record taken in. We just don't know what's about to happen. And this additional funding will allow us to respond effectively and quickly to whatever that is. It is our plan to partner with organizations in the community. We have talked to so many folks, and we're so happy that Mr. Jama is able to be here today and talk from that perspective of the community organizations. But we have talked to so many folks who are feeling this great need in the community. So it is our plan to partner with those organizations primarily, to work with them and through them to respond to that fear and uncertainty that's out there, to talk to as many folks as possible, to help them with whatever solutions we can in terms of immigration, clearing people's records, preparing them for legal safety plans in a worst-case scenario, whatever we can do to help people in the community. Additionally, we're going to partner with the immigration nonprofits who are out there to accept the cases that they have been reluctant to take. Anything that has any kind of a criminal record, even an old arrest, is something that the existing immigration nonprofit attorneys are reluctant to take, partly because they just don't have any state-level practice attorneys for the most part and aren't familiar with criminal records and how to look at them and what's there. And then there is a small army of attorneys out there who want to volunteer and do pro bono kinds of work. So we want to be resource attorneys for them, providing them with the information they need so they can be most effective in helping us out. It's going to take us all working together, and this emergency measure allows us to do that. We thank you so much for allowing this.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, City Council, for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Michael Hsu, and I am currently a staff attorney at Metropolitan Public Defender. Since President Trump issued his executive order on January 25th, prioritizing undocumented immigrants for deportation, the immigration population has been living in fear. I personally understand that fear because up until 2 months ago, I had been living as an undocumented person in America and had been doing so for the past 21 years. I attended elementary school here, high school, undergrad, and law school in America. And in 2011, I graduated from Lewis and Clark Law School with honors and passed the Oregon State Bar. There are other educational and professional accomplishments that I can list, but those do not paint the complete picture of my journey because America is also where, at the age of 9, I first learned how to kick a soccer ball. It's where I learned how to carve a pumpkin for Halloween. It's where I learned how to roast a turkey for Thanksgiving and how to sing Jingle Bells for Christmas. It's where I have represented veterans in court hearings, and it's where I've volunteered my time tutoring at-risk youth. In other words, America is where I grew up. America is where I volunteer, work, and pay taxes. It's where I consider my home. One of the most difficult things about being undocumented is the inability to feel safe in one's own home. Undocumented people are constantly worried about being uprooted from their communities, separated from their loved ones, or detained in a center with no way to find help. Some of that fear was alleviated by President Obama when he created the DACA program in 2011. Some people call it the Dream Act program. It gave undocumented people who arrived in the United States as children the ability to apply for a work permit. I was a beneficiary of that program. After I graduated law school, I obtained a work permit and became the first undocumented person in America to be licensed to practice law.
Wow, that's impressive.
So for the first time since I was 9, I felt like I could come out of the shadows and live my life to its fullest potential. My situation is not unique, however. Over 750,000 people have received work permits since the DACA program was created 5 years ago. With the new administration, however, people have been thrown back into a state of fear. They're going back into the shadows. Employees are afraid of losing their jobs. Students are afraid of losing their ability to pay for school. And mothers are afraid of losing their children. I would ask the City Council today to support Metropolitan Public Defender's goal of creating a program that protects vulnerable immigrant communities. The program's goal is to create a legal team that has extensive knowledge of criminal laws and criminal justice issues and apply that knowledge to the immigrant community. Immigrants need these services now more than ever. This program would provide them with that service so that fewer immigrants in Portland would have to live in fear. They can hopefully escape from the shadows, contribute to this beautiful city, and find solace in America, the place they consider home. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Casey Chama. I'm the Executive Director of Unite Oregon. It's hard to follow and that kind of testimony, so I really appreciate you being here. It's a great pleasure. As you said, so many of our community members who are undocumented has similar experience working hard, paying tax, and making sure that they have sent their kids to school and create business and jobs. So thank you for your contribution to our community and our country. As myself also, as a refugee, former refugee who came to this country and this city, I could relate to that experience because I call also Portland home. I call Oregon my home state, and I call this country my country. It's a great place to live. But as my colleague said, since the election, Our community is facing a lot of fear and uncertainty. And we have been engaged in the community since the election and really in, you know, having discussions and meetings and creating a space where people can share with us their most intimate fears that they have after this election. And I echo, it's a difficult time. But I don't think so fear should limit us as a society, as a community, what we can do for those most vulnerable populations in our state and our city. So with that, I really, really appreciate you taking the step forward, making sure that immigrant refugees can have the access, the legal advice that they need to get the support that they need. I've been working in this field for many years, and one of the things that I also learned, or at least I observed, is that immigrants and refugees interact with our system, not only through immigration, but the entire system, whether it's the legal and all the above. But the immigration is a very, very specific experience that immigrants have to deal with them, their own, to make sure that they are stay here. What I realized that when people have a small minor infractions or, you know, bigger other legal issues, between, you know, larger issues to smaller issues, immigration has the only solution is deportation. There is no legal system between when somebody, the scale of the justice is not equal. It's all deportation. So when I met Alex and came to my office and he shared with me on this project, I was really excited because just that couple of days ago, I got calls from clients who are exactly in the same position what this project is supposed to be helping. People who are calling our office and saying that, you know, I'm afraid, I'm a permanent resident, I may have, you know, I don't know how whether I should apply or not. And as a community member, I'm not a lawyer, I can't advise them. I told them, no, I cannot advise you, but I have to bring somebody to help you. So this project is really what is needed. But also sometimes I also notice that DAs, when they are negotiating with someone, if they give a plea, someone to take it, sometimes there's no discussion between the immigration consequences of that deal. They just only look into a legal perspective. And then later on, the individual realizes that because the plea deal that they took, it has immigration consequences with that deal. So this is kind of a project, the immigrant project that Public Defender is proposing, is actually what we need in order this time to make sure that people are protected. So with that said, thank you so much for your support, and I'm really looking to be working with Alex and his team. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here. Are there any questions for this panel?
Yeah, I have a couple, and thank you for an outstanding presentation. In the handout you gave us, it says that it would cost about $250,000 to launch this immigrant protection project. Would that be the annual budget for this going forward?
Commissioner Fish, yes, we believe it would be about $250,000 a year to have two attorneys and some staff
and some support
that would support them.
By the action we're going to take today, we're going to contribute $50,000. Where else are you going to seek funding?
We are hopeful that we are going to get some money from the county. We are doing fundraising at various levels, from foundations, individual fundraising, high-level donor fundraising. We're reaching out wherever we can, and we're pretty hopeful that we're going to be able to put that money together. But even if it were only the $50,000, we would cut the project into its constituent parts and go forward with something. It would serve the people of this community, even if we weren't able to get any additional money. But we are very hopeful that we're going to get that additional money. As I'm sure you're aware, there's a lot of concern in the community, just in the number of people calling us wanting to donate and volunteer and do whatever they can.
Commissioner Fritz is sending me a subliminal signal. So
thank you, please. Commissioner, for yielding. On that topic, I know that there's a lot of people like me who are like, I want to do something. And Unite Oregon is already a nonprofit. Would you have the capacity to set up a fund for this so that if somebody in the community wanted to send $10, $1, $100, could they send it to you and it gets directed to this project? Or is there another way that people can participate?
There is, Commissioner Fritz. Thank you so much for mentioning that. immigrantprotectionproject.org is a website that by the middle of today should be open and working and will allow people to donate. It will be a page that will describe fully this project and
thank
as a mechanism
for donating.
Thank you for
teeing that up so nicely, Commissioner.
So I have this sinking feeling that we're going to be in this situation for at least 4 years. And I am very appreciative of the mayor and Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward today. But I think we have to plan for the longer term. So I hope that in our regular budget cycle, the same ask, or potentially more if necessary, is put forth and that we consider that as part of the city's response. Currently, as you gentlemen know, we're a sanctuary state. There's a little confusion about, you know, what the city's status is versus the state. But technically speaking, as I read the state law, we're a sanctuary state. We can't use public funds to prosecute people whose only offense is they might have overstayed their visa or be undocumented. And so that's the law that we're bound by. I think that makes us a sanctuary state and a sanctuary city. Of the two executive orders that are in question here, the sanctuary city one, in my view, is overbroad and unconstitutional. We'll test that. But the folks that hated the Affordable Care Act set the precedent on that one. And so we're going to find out if what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If you can't compel states to expand Medicaid at the threat of coercion of having Medicaid money withheld, I can't see how you can follow through on President Trump's threat to cities on sanctuary cities. And, of course, the Muslim ban, another so-called federal judge just declared that unconstitutional this week, so the tide is going our way. But I would, as part of the city's response, I know the mayor has obtained council approval to for us to file some amicus actions to join with other legal actions. I think the city of San Francisco is a model challenge to some of this, but our attorney general is pursuing. So I'm pleased that we'll be investing some resources in the legal front. But this closer to home is about as close a nexus to what we need to do with the people that we serve. And so, Mayor and colleague, I would ask that this also be considered in the regular budget. And that we'd be thinking about a four-year cycle of support because there's a ramp-up phase to get a program like this going. You're not going to be able to get the most competent lawyers to come if you tell them it's only a six-month gig. And I think we have to prepare for the long-term fight here. So I would hope that we could invest over a four-year period. Thank you, and thank you for
your
work.
Thank you so much, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Is there any public testimony on this matter?
Yes, we have two people signed up, Shedrick right. Wilkins and Charles Bridge Crane Johnson.
Okay. And Mr. Walsh, it sounds like you want to come up too. Why don't you go ahead and come up?
Again, I'm Shedrick Wilkins, and my contribution to this whole thing, on this Sunday I went to the St. Peter's Catholic Church, which was harassed by some Trump people in the last couple of weeks. They said these Catholic people shouldn't be here, they're not Christians and a bunch of stuff. For at least the next 6 months, I will be there at noon when they have their mass. I wish only to comfort these people. They might feel uncomfortable with these people chanting outside. There's like, I guess, 6 or 10 people. I understand 2 weeks there was, we are called interceptors, in which there were 100 people there. And I didn't know anything about this, but I read it in the Portland Tribune. So at noon on Sundays, I will be there. And my purpose is to comfort them, to make sure they don't feel worried that they're going to be deported. And I do feel confidently here that Commissioner Fish is saying that some money will be allocated from the city to try to make sure that they can stay here. And that also means I'm not wasting my time. So it's kind of bad for me to sit there and put in some time when this is a hopeless situation. It does appear to me that California, Oregon, and Washington State do seem to have a need for to oppose Trump's views about how non-residents shouldn't live here. So I'm doing my part, as Commissioner Fritz said, to do something about that, and just to comfort them that the whole entire city here doesn't want to get rid of them.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Cedric.
Good morning.
Good morning again. For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I would just like to compliment Commissioner Fish. You were thinking along the same lines I was. This is going to be a four-year project. I was amazed how fast ICE reacted to the election. Think about this. They were in our courts. They were in the county courts arresting people. We got information that they were on the buses and the trains also. So when the TriMet ticket guy threw the person off the train, they went into the arms of ICE. That was about 2 days after the election we were getting reports on it. So ICE has been given a green light by somebody. And then on the news, if you're following the news, you saw it was more than here. It was like six states that ICE is going crazy because they got a green light from somebody. So the $50,000 is honorable. It's a good move. It should be more. It should be like the commissioner. I think that I understood you, Commissioner Fish, when you said, look, this thing's going to go on for 4 years. The $50,000 is kind of like a down payment. It's going to be more. The activist community will surround this building, and I said this to the commissioners in the county. We will physically put our bodies around this building if we have immigrants inside the building to protect them. We need you to stand next to us. That's what we need. When it really gets bad, we need you next to us. I don't want to look around and not see you. Where a lot of protests and a lot of vigils, you're not there. This one, you must be there. Because it's going to get really bad. This guy in the White House is crazy. There are more technical terms we could use, but he's crazy. And he gets up in the morning and he does what he feels like. That's crazy. So the $50,000, I'm not asking for an amendment. I'm just saying to you straight out, it's going to cost you more. So think about that. And we have to protect these people every way we can. My father came from Ireland. I'm first generation. So I'm very sensitive to this. Please stand with us. And don't abandon us when the feds come down and they do things like going after the marijuana and all that. They're going to pressure the hell out of us. And we need you really badly.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Bridge Crane Johnson. And as Mr. Walsh has noted, the stand you take and the public actions you take are going to be perhaps even more important than this $50,000. I believe across the river, sort of the parallel person to our police commissioner, Ted Wheeler, here is Sheriff Mike Reese. The last I knew, unfortunately, Sheriff Reese had an internal investigation going on because of lone wolf collaborators with ICE and CBP. So in addition to all four of you voting aye here momentarily and passing this important funding, you need to, as Mr. Wall said, stand with the immigrant community and, unfortunately, attentively manage the police department and the sheriff's department. I don't think anybody in America would say there are zero racists or zero bigots employed by sheriff's departments and police departments. When people go into the Justice Center above our jail, that weird building, IGA type of building over there, their immigration status is talked about right in court. In theory, on the pretense of protecting that person. But if a jail staff person overhears that discussion, and that jail staff person decides to go lone wolf and rogue and just call up ICE and say, hey, case number such and such, Fernando so and so, we need to know that that person will lose their job. So please make the seed investment. some of you who watch media closely may know that about every tech company made a public statement about the importance of immigration. And so when the people were here from Metropolitan Public Defenders, they mentioned high-level donors. I'm sure they're going to go over into Northwest Portland in the 1400 block and knock on the door of Microsoft Corporation so that Microsoft Corporation can not just protect its own immigrants, but can be a participant in this community and fund this project with us. And that would apply for our other neighbor a couple blocks over, eBay. I forget where Google's office is. We all know that Airbnb is going to contribute not just to protect their own high-salary workers, but also the low-income food service workers and sanitation workers that we all depend on. So I look forward to strong leadership from the business community as well as the $50,000 seed you're putting in. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog PDX. I absolutely agree with this funding being implemented. One of the concerns I have is that pertaining to the Syrian refugees and seeing the suffering of the people, I want to also make it be clear that we need to offer foreign aid at this time. I disagree with President Trump on how he's rolled out this executive order. I think he's done this too fast with not doing a lot of thinking in the direction he needs to go. I believe that the immigration system itself needs to be modernized. Reforms need to be put into place. This will take time, though, such as with these attorneys, to overlook that, implement this on a gradual basis over time. Mr. Trump's position on keeping the United States safe, I do agree with him on that. I do agree with the vetting process being looked at and understanding that we do need to implement certain things that will provide more safety for the people in the United States who are here currently, people coming from foreign countries. Also need to have that understanding. We're trying to provide more safety for the people in the United States, have a more clear understanding why we do have 50 million refugees at this time, why things are so unstable at this time, how we implement things to correct that and stabilize situations for people so they don't have to flee their countries. And in some areas, as Turkey and Sweden and other areas that have had open-arm policies are changing to this time because they don't have enough capacity. We need to keep looking at this very close, make sure that resources are still provided to the Syrian refugees, and amp that up at this time and continue to work with President Trump and understand to look at this from a humanitarian position, that when people are suffering, you have to step up also and try to do what you can do. And that needs to be looked at very close. Thank you.
Thank you. Carla, please call the roll.
Well, thank you, colleagues, for your support on this, and particularly thank you, Mayor Wheeler. The first time I told him about this. I only got halfway through and he was very supportive. And this is just the first of many actions that the City Council will be taking to look after all of our community members. One of my favorite union chants when we're on labor marches is, working folks are under attack. What do we do? Stand up, fight back. And I think right now, immigrant folks are under attack. What do we do? Stand up, fight back. And I usually don't use the word fight and I said when I'm my political advertising, because my sentiment is if you're fighting, then you really, that's not where you want to be. You want to be in dialogue. You want to be pressing hard, but you certainly don't want to resort to violence. In this particular instance, I think that that has clearly not worked. We have not been able to elect a president who would not have done any of these things. I became a citizen in September of 1992, having lived in Portland for six years. And I was in September because I mailed the voter registration card as I left the courtroom so that I could vote for Hillary Clinton as First Lady. And I cherish that right to be an American citizen, and I know that others do too. And yet, even I, as an immigrant who looks and talks like I do, is a privileged person compared with others who are here or want to be here seeking the American dream. So, colleagues, I very much appreciate your support on this. State Representative Ann Leininger, obviously my favorite state representative since she's mine, Alex Bassos, and Michael Hsu, thank you for being here. Thank you, Casey Jarma, and your leadership of Unite Oregon. Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Udaly and I watched an event last night that was standing up and rallying for immigrant rights. And Casey has been a leader in our community for many years now and is the person that we turn to help with challenges. When we had the alleged bombing that was going to be in Pioneer Courthouse Square in November Thanksgiving, Casey was the person that I contacted to say, how can we help the Somali community and how can the Somali community be held safe? And so I greatly appreciate his leadership. Commissioner Daly was at the event last night, even though she's very sick and that's why she's off today. I know that she is going to be bringing several other measures forward very soon, colleagues, to support Portland United Against Hate, because we can't actually wait for the regular budget process for that either. That was started in the one of the places that it originated was in the ONI Budget Advisory Committee last year, when suddenly after the election it became clear that cutting 1% or 5% was only part of the challenges that we're facing today as a community. And so I appreciate Commissioner Udaly attending last night and being very clear that she is going to continue that work in partnership with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement and with our community. I just want to also just mention, I could have asked for more. We could probably have put the entire amount down. But people are wanting to help. I felt that last night as people gathering together. Just tell us what we can help with. So you can go to immigrantprotectionproject.org. Let's see how much we can do in our community. Send $10, send $100, send one if you can. So that you have done your bit other than attending rallies, because after a while, that's still important to show people that we care. It's also, we've got to put our words into action. And Mayor Wheeler is working on coordinating a Welcoming Cities resolution. My Portland Parks staff and director, Mike Abate, are looking at if ICE comes into our community centers, what are their legal resources? I know that the city attorney's office wants to make themselves available. So we can fight this. We are Portland. We have leaders in the immigrant community, and we are friends with our immigrant communities. So this is a very exciting action. Thank you very much, colleagues. Two more. I forgot to thank Tim Crail in my office, my chief of staff, who has led this work ever since I mentioned it, and also our community partners, which are the American Civil Liberty Union of Oregon, Oregon Law Center, Immigrant Refugee Community Organization, otherwise known as ERCO, the Oregon Latino Health Coalition, CAUSA, Latino Network, and many others. So thank you to all those community members.
Fish?
I want to thank the mayor and Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward, and I wholeheartedly support it. And I think, Commissioner Fritz, you're right. Providing seed money and then challenging the community is exactly the right thing to do. But I also hope we have a chance during the regular budget to consider a multi-year request. My mother was born in Montreal, Canada, came to this country and seeking a better life. My mother-in-law was born in Cordoba in the south of Spain, and she came here with a sixth-grade education and no English to start a better life. We all have stories of how immigrants and refugees have shaped our lives, and we know that immigrants, refugees, and Native people built this nation. And so it's appropriate for us to stand with folks in this time of peril. This is one of a number of actions which I will wholeheartedly support. I thank the Metropolitan Public Defender Agency for their great work. It's times like this that you actually get more attention for the work you do, which is hard work, not very glamorous, underfunded. The lawyers in a public defender office have chosen, they've had often the choice to work for more and jobs that are probably easier, but they have chosen this work because it's pure public service. And so you deserve our thanks and our respect. Thank you, colleagues. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz, Mayor Wheeler, for bringing forward this funding request. And I also want to acknowledge Metropolitan Public Defenders for the role that you're playing with immigrants and refugees, but also for the role you play every day with low-income Oregonians, juveniles, and criminal matters. You're a very strong organization, and I'm not sure how we would function as a society without an organization like yourself. So thank you for that, and I look forward to working with you as we stand up for the rights of immigrants, refugees in our community. Aye.
Wheeler?
I want to add my thanks. Commissioner Fritz, thank you very much for your leadership on this and your team's leadership on this. You're right. I got about halfway through the description and said I'm in. I was asked a very provocative question by a former colleague of yours, Randy Leonard, about 12 years ago when I approached him and said I was thinking about running for public office. And the question that he asked me then, and it's a question I think about a lot still, which is this: what are you prepared to lay it all down for? What issues? This is right now the single most important issue before us that I am prepared to lay it all down for. And we will continue to, and I'm going to use the, it's the right word, we're going to fight. We are in a fight for what is a core American value. We're in a fight for what is a core community value. The fact of the matter is this community is better for having an immigrant community. And I could bury you in facts, but I won't do that for you today. But Michael's story, I think, is just one of many incredible stories I've heard. And this has touched a nerve with this community. We went to a great event last night. I was really sorry I had to follow Casey Jama in the speaker's lineup. That's always a bad thing. Casey's so eloquent in the way he presents these things. Not long ago, most all of us here went to Metropolitan, the Muslim Education Trust out in Tigard. There were something like 1,400 people in that room. And every single event I've been to related to this matter, it seems that the passion is actually growing. It's not withering because people feel that something really, really important is on the line. Lane, I see you here, and I appreciate the work that you and the public defenders do. It's very important work. Commissioner, I appreciate that we're putting real money behind an actual solution. It's tangible. It's immediate. It's going to start to have an impact starting right now. And I agree that there's a lot more that we can do, and I want you to know, I speak for this whole council, and I don't think anyone here is going to correct me. We're prepared to lay it all on the line for this issue. So thank you, Commissioner, for bringing this first of many packages forward. Thank you to your team. Thanks for everybody who worked on this. Thanks for the community partners who put their blood, sweat, and tears into this effort. I vote aye, and the ordinance is adopted. That's the good news. Now some bad news. I'm looking at our agenda. It is now 11:45. We have 8 more items to cover. Some of them are meaty. So with the forbearance of everyone here, if you could try and keep your testimony to 2 minutes. I don't like doing it, but if you could try and keep your testimony to 2 minutes, I'd appreciate it, because we also have a marathon session this afternoon. I want to make sure that the council has time to do other business between those two things. I would ask the clerk to return item 140.